I'm back. It's been a minute. Have you missed me? Have you boys missed me?
Is he really here?
I know.
This is amazing.
So
I forgot what you look like.
Have you missed me? I want to hear it from my partners. Have you missed me?
We missed you.
Yes, we did.
We saw you. I started to think that you had like a Fox logo attached to you, because the only time we see you is when we see a Fox logo on the bottom of the screen.
Man, it was rough. You know, I was busy. I was working. But last week, yeah, I listened to the podcast, and you boys did a tremendous job without me recapping Mexico. I wish I was there for that. But, you know, unfortunately, I had to go to Boston for a on sale where we go into the city that we're fighting, and we go and do a whole bunch of media as the tickets go on sale. So I was there with Francis Ngannou. We spent a day around Boston, but I got to Boston at midnight on Tuesday, did that media tour on Wednesday all day, was back on the plane by 5:30 heading back to San Jose. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And then I went from there, came home and trained on Thursday, did jiu-jitsu and everything, and then I went to Canada on Friday.
I thought you went straight there from...
No, I came home because my son had his Christmas play that he's been training for all year. I couldn't miss that, man. And came home, listened to that, watched him, and did that, did some jiu-jitsu, worked out with Javier, took off Friday morning, and went and did the show this weekend. So it's been a busy few days. Felt good to get back in the gym, get back to some normalcy, and have some time to finish preparing for this fight.
You had a near-death experience, too, I saw. That was pretty scary to watch.
With Francis Ngannou?
Yeah, you had a sleeping giant in the car. And
that could have gotten really bad.
Decided hey. To poke him. I was like...
I said, either he's going to kill me, or this is going to make for a really, really interesting video. And thankfully, he didn't kill me.
I mean, who?
I was a bit nervous after I did it. I was like, okay, what's his reaction? But he just didn't know what it was, so he was like a little bit afraid to open his eyes. But then when I went to sleep, in the back seat, he did the same thing to me. He didn't rub my face, but like he like lifted up my hood because I was sleeping, and I always pull my hood over my face because I know everybody's trying to get me. And he lifted it, and as soon as he lifted it, I woke up. So I was able to like wake up before he actually got to rub my face a la, what's that, Face Off. Remember on Face Off, the guy kept doing that?
No.
That's how he told his kids he loved them, right? Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. But Nicolas Cage, every time he saw his kid, his wife, his daughter, he always kind of rubbed their face. And eventually that was the end of the movie, was that he got his kid to believe that he was who he was because he's wearing John Travolta's face by doing like a rubbing her face like that. Nice. I think it's funny because you always get that great reaction. So
I thought it was cool. Funny that someone was asleep, felt someone like rub their eyes, nose, and mouth, and woke up with like a super content grin on their face. I was like, what?
Francis?
Yeah, he's just like, woke up with a smile.
Yeah. He goes, what is that? He just knew he was got, right? Like, what other reaction was he going to have? You know, it was like, what else is he going to, unless he kicked my ass? You know, he was like, either he was going to beat me up, or he was going to just try to figure out what had just happened to him. And that's what he did. But last week, you guys called it the lost episode. So what episode are we on right now if that was the lost episode?
Technically, I think 18.
This we're on episode 18.
Yeah.
So
why am I coughing?
For episode 18, we have another guest. Look, we haven't had many guests on this podcast, which is very odd. We kind of try to do it ourselves, but we are welcoming in a champion tonight, and Maxi Baby, Max Holloway, and I'm very excited about that.
No, that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
we almost teased it last week. Dennis wanted to announce it, and I said, no, let's, don't steal DC's thunder.
No, we're gonna have Max on, and I'm excited about it. This dude's a fantastic guy, and obviously he's become just a tremendous fighter and now champion. I remember whenever Kane fought Brock Lesnar, he fought Dustin Poirier on the undercard and got submitted. And I saw him in the elevator, and I met him for the first time. And I never forgot the kid because even though he had lost, there was just something to him, right? But he was also really, really young. I think he might have been like 19 or 20 when he got into the UFC. Yeah. So he was really young, and he had this thing about him. And I was like, wow, we got to watch for this kid as he evolves. And we've gotten to see him all the way up through the UFC from fight one all the way to now being a champion who's defended his belt. So we're just kind of waiting to talk to him, because there are a few things that I want to ask him, you know, like there's just his journey is so fascinating to me, because not often do we get the guy that starts from square one and then makes his way all the way up to the UFC champion.
Yeah. No, he, yeah, it's like he's grown up in the UFC.
Literally. He really has.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that he's grown not only as a fighter, but even more as a man, you know, because now he's having to deal with success at a level that he probably didn't expect, you know. So it's really cool to see and watch. And,
yeah, his personality. I can't wait to talk to him. His personality, his confidence has really come out.
It really is. Like he's growing. He's growing a ton. So here, I'm gonna text him right now. See if I can't get the champ to call in a couple minutes early, so we can get this thing rolling. I'm impatient. I want to talk to Max Holloway.
I can't stop coughing. It's your fault too.
What's wrong with you?
I was better, but you had that picture of you and Daniel doing the push-ups together. So I showed it to Luke today, and I told him I was jealous. So
really?
So I got him in the garage doing the burpee workout together. So we just busted that out.
Here goes.
Why would that make you tired?
He's calling right now.
Well, you have to do 10 burpees a minute for 15 minutes. So it just got my blood flowing, got me coughing a little bit.
Nick, Max is calling.
Here we go.
Add him in, Dennis.
What's up, boss?
Max, what's up, Maxie baby?
What's up, brother?
You got Daniel
what
Cormier.
What up, Maxie baby here.
Maxie baby. You got Daniel Cormier, Nick Swinburne, and Dennis Rodriguez.
The Dennis Rodriguez.
Yes. Hi, Max. Hey,
Dennis, what's up, my friends? How you guys? I'm kind of sad I didn't hear Tyler Mitten is not on the line. Fuck that guy then.
Tyler didn't.
He's doing tuna and OJ right now. He's busy.
Tyler's doing tuna and orange juice right now. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but when Tyler was in college, he was so broke that he couldn't afford protein shakes. So when he was done with training, he would take a can of tuna fish and pour it in a glass of orange juice, and that would supplement it as his protein shakes.
No, he didn't tell me that story because, you know, that's something I'm going to tease him about. So I have something else to tease him about.
Max, let's go back that's a couple horrible. Weeks to UFC 218 when you fought Jose Aldo the second time. Initially, when you found out that Frankie Edgar was out, you always said, I'm going to fight regardless. But when it was Jose Aldo again, was there a little bit of a letdown, kind of like a little disappointment, like, man, I just went through this guy who's the most successful featherweight champion of all time, and I got to do it again?
And, you know, not at all, you know. You know what sucked? It sucks because I know, you know, Aldo's a man. He, you know, he's been around, he's been running the division for a long time. The shitty thing that sucks is how do you sell Aldo, Holloway, Aldo 3, you know? So I was thinking, I know I'm going to go in there and do my thing again. You know, I was confident. I felt great. And it just, great. You know, there was that little thing that all his fans and everybody was holding on to. Even people were breaking down the fight. I'd see him enjoy his leg kicks. And Max did have a hard first round or the first two rounds. So I'm glad I got to get that out the way and show everyone that I really was the best. So it wasn't a letdown at all, man. I got to submit my legacy, and now we're on to the next.
You know, after the fight with Jose Aldo, Joe Rogan said, Max, you're now the greatest featherweight the UFC's ever seen. And you were quick to kind of deter that. You were like, no. Jose Aldo is, and he always, you know, he will be until I do more. Why'd you do that? Why didn't you just take on that phrase? Do you not believe that you are now in that position? I mean, we've seen you from fight one all the way to fight. I mean, you're on a 12-fight win streak. Why don't you feel like you should be in that conversation just yet?
You know, I always said, man, women lie, men lie, numbers don't lie. And, you know, I got a bunch of records inside of the featherweight division. But to be a greatest of all time, you need that championship numbers. And Jose is the one that got it, but you know, I got nothing but time, man. I'm coming. You know, my time's coming, and Bless Era is here, and I just gotta catch up with his numbers. You know, the man put in his work, and that's what I believe. I gotta catch up with. I gotta catch up with that work, and in due time, man. In due time, you know, you gotta give his legend the respect, and in due time, I think so. I match his numbers, and we'd be all good.
Is it a, you know, what's amazing is watching you, like your confidence over your career, and you've always, I guess it's easy to say looking back, but you always seem like you just know like where you're going. Like it doesn't seem like you react too much. You know, like each successive fight, you're like, we're gonna do UFC Hawaii. Everyone's gonna know. Everyone's gonna understand how good I am, and then you just keep. Like proving it, and it's weird to me at least. You watch the crowd respond in the it's like the crowd at first was like, what's this guy talking about? And then each successive fight they're like, yep, and now they're just like, ah, like,
this UFC Hawaii thing has legs.
Yeah,
Max.
Yeah, like at first it was like, yeah, it's a so I, you know, it, how do you like, have you always just known, like, I mean, before you got to the UFC even, or you just, are you one of those ones that believes I can see it so it'll happen, or you just figure, why not me, or it is what it is? Like, what is the, where does this confidence come from?
You know, the confidence comes from self-belief. You know, too much people in this world don't, you know, they can, you can do whatever you want in this world, but too much people listen to people who thought they could do something, and when they was told they couldn't do something by people who they wasn't able to accomplish them because they listened to people that told them they couldn't do it and they believe it. So they're just trying to bring this negativity in the world. I ain't about that life, you know. I ain't about that negative life. And what I'm about is confidence. You guys gotta understand, anything you wanna do, if you're confident enough, you can be the best at what you do and whatever you do. You gotta have this self belief, you know. Not. A lot of people, they depend on other people's reaction. They depend on people to hold their hands through tough times and this and that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's got to be you. You got to believe in yourself. And, you know, my self-belief is strong. You know, and I'm a big believer. If you think about it, you talk about it enough, and you do the right things, and you take the right steps, and I go through my mind the fight and how things pan out over my mind over and over and over again. So I really do believe if you think about it, you're going to achieve it. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to come full circle.
Max, how's that working? How is that working? It is what it is. I mean, how's that working? It's actually working.
It's working. You was there. Actually, you wasn't there for this one, but I wanted you to call one of my fights. It's going to be great, but, you know, it is what it is. It's so great. You know, hey, before – I always wanted to talk to the commentators during the fight, so I'm taking little by little. After the first one, I got to talk to Joe Rogan. I was kind of thinking about it before the fight, you know, like, man, I want to talk to the commentators, and I have a story just to show them how loose, and I felt no nerves before this fight. I was kind of crazy. I was talking to my coaches, like, there was even one of my coaches, my head coach, Ryan Lazarus, he was telling me, man, you know, I was a little nervous for this fight because he wasn't really as talkative and this and that. And blah, blah, blah in the back. Like, he was saying certain things I do, and I wasn't doing it this fight. And I told him, man, I was so calm that I was nervous of how calm I was. And he was like, oh, I get it. Like, I was pretty calm in this fight. I don't know where it was, the calmness, but where it came from. But, you know, I believe this is my time. I believe I prepared for this guy, and I thought I was going to finish him again. You know, I just knew what I had to do to get the guy done in this last fight. And, you know, it is what it is. It's working perfectly fine for me.
Cannot believe that. You walked to Joe Rogan in between the round, and you said, the man's tired. You said, the man's tired. Now, you said, the man's tired. Now, listen, I think that you fought Jose Aldo's ego, right? Because he's such a great champion that's been around so long. You attacked him at his core. The one thing that people don't understand is that when you're a fighter, if you attack my ego, I am going to lash out. That is what I do. I am a fighter. But you knew he did not have the gas to fight you in that way. But you fought his ego. And you made Jose Aldo say, fuck Max Holloway. I'm going to knock his ass out. And he threw everything in every shot. And you with that big Hawaiian chin just ate it. And then he fucking faded. I mean, am I wrong here in thinking that you fought his ego?
No, not at all. You know, it's not, you know, is that, of course it's every fighter, but it's in every natural human being. You know, if I, if Daniel, if someone came up to you right now and said, I can eat a whole bucket of chicken faster than you, your ego's going to be like,
give me the chicken.
Tyler, hold on. You're not cooking me dinner tonight. I'm going to beat this man, you know? That's just how it is. Everybody have ego, and that's what we did. You know, I went out there, and I knew certain things from the first fight that kind of ticked him off. I knew what pushed him to the edge, and, you know, I just was more calmer this one, and I just had a lot more to say, because it's like I said this before, if I fought you one time, the second time is going to be much more worse than the first time, and then the third time, you should be really thinking of signing the contract, because I just feel good. You know, every round, you guys see it all the time. You talk about it all the time, DC. Every time you see me fight, I get stronger as the round goes on. You know, I'm like this computer in there. I try to analyze you, see what you give me, this and that, and then I start putting it together, you know, and a lot of guys think so, oh, there was two Aldos we was getting ready for this fight. We really thought the first option, the Aldo I thought I was going to see was a sprinter right off the back coming at me, because the most success he had was first round, and I think so they kind of knew and believed that they couldn't go at me cardio-wise all the way, so I thought he was going to sprint, or the second one, he might actually pick his shots here and there and pick his hard shots, this and that, and he was actually doing pretty good in the first couple of minutes of picking his jab, picking his right hand, and then, you know, old sprinter came around when I started, like you said, picking at his ego, you know, and taunting him and, you know, clapping for him and doing all that kind of stuff, so it was just a great night for me.
I think, you know, as impressive as your fights have been, I think how you've handled Connor has been far and away more impressive than anyone else has handled him, because everyone else is kind of like, oh, he got to be so crazy and brash and I got to get on his radar, and it almost brings them down a level, whereas you've always just said, I don't give a shit about Connor. He hasn't been in my division for a long time. If he wants to come fight me, he can fight me. And it's like the way you did that, like it elevated you, because it was like, yeah, why the fuck should Connor get to fight him? You know, like he's a champ. And so
I thought your statement really that said old retired guys love to talk about the past was just spot on. Yeah. I mean, that was like, what are your thoughts in regards to Connor though? Like, really?
Hey, you know, hey, fair play to the man. He did a lot. You know, he thinks he brings some new fans to the sport and this and that. But, you know, everybody keep trying to attack me and say something. I got nothing bad to say about Connor. If he want to fight me, he's going to fight me. He got 100 guys begging at his knees and blah, blah, blah. If he want to fight me, he can come. He's going to choose who he's going to fight anyway. So I'm not going to be another beggar. You know, if he wants to fight, their team know who's the best guy. His coach said, you can Google this, his coach said, I'm the best 145er in the world. So if they want to fight, they know who's the best. You know, you come fight Bless. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to be one of these guys with my hand out or whatever. If he want to fight me, he's going to fight me. He chooses his fights. He's going to choose whoever. So at the end of the day, people keep saying, oh, this and that, you're not the champ, blah, blah, blah. How am I not the champ? I have... You know, I have this beautiful gold belt at home. You know, when you look at the UFC website, it says the undisputed UFC featherweight champ. And I don't get it. These fans got to understand. You gotta freaking play to keep your championship. You know, and this guy's not playing. How are you gonna? That's like me just quitting right now. Be like, I'm done fighting, guys. You know, whatever. Someone else that wins the belt and be like, he's not the real champ. He never fought me, and he never beat me. That's just ridiculousness. Like, really think about what you guys have to say. It's ridiculous, you know? It's like, how the hell are you going to fight a guy who doesn't want to fight you? So,
yeah.
And then it's all fun and games, you know, fair play. He did his own stuff. A lot of people, I respect him, you know? A lot of people, if they could do what Connor did, they would do it, you know? It's a bullshit deal. I want to do this and that. The man made, you know, X amount of money. Good for him. Congratulations, but... I'm focusing on me right now. I'm focusing on my legacy. I'm focusing on champ life, and that's what we're doing, you know, one step at a time. You know, if that guy's coming in the picture, he comes in the picture. If not, I'm perfectly fine. You know, this guy's going to hold on to a win that he had when we was kids years ago, and if you want to be like that, you know, then he's like that. You know, my mentality is that Mamba mentality at Kobe. You know, if I beat you once, I don't want, once is not good for me. I want to beat you 100 times and make you call me daddy and stuff, you know, all that bad stuff. And that's the way I look at it, you know. Some guys don't look at it that way. Some guys look at it different, and you know, cool for you.
I think so, you and Khabib having a battle one day, and the winner is just the first one to make the other one say daddy.
Don't be saying that about DC's man, bro. I'm telling you, DC's my friend. I know that he's my friend, but he's Khabib's brother, so we can't be starting that shit because I'm gonna go off right now.
Max, before we let you go, we won't keep it much longer. What's next for Max Holloway? And also, a move to 155. You're a big guy, Max. I mean, I know you make the weight pretty good. Are you make the weight, however you make the weight, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect your cardio or anything, but you're a big guy at 145. What's next for Max? And at 26 years old, when do you envision a move up to lightweight, if that's even in the cards? Because when Frankie did fall out, there were rumors that you said 155 or 45, I'll fight either.
Yeah, you know, shit, I'd love to fight whatever, you know. The 45, I'll keep staying at 45 as long as I medically can do the weight, you know. As long as it's smart, my body's comprehending, like you say, I'm not losing cardio to make this weight. I'm not dying and killing myself to make this weight. As long as medically I'm all good, you know, my living longevity of my life is not affecting that, then I think I'm fine and making the weight. But other than that, if I go to 55, then I go to 55. You know, the cool thing is the last couple weekends, you know, looks like more contenders is coming up. But there's a lot of interesting fights at 55 too. But like I said, at the end of the day, I'm focused on champ life right now. You know, those fights, the money fights. That's the one that if they come, they come. But right now I'm trying to focus on champ life. The move up is going to be because medical reasons, because I can't go to 45. I am 26. I am Samoan, Hawaiian. I'm a Polynesian. You know, you can ask Tyler. He know I love to eat food. I'm fucking a small virgin like you, DC, and you know it. Yes. And so 55 might not be that far away, but, you know, right now I'm focused on champ life. And, you know, if the exhibition matches come, they come. If not, then they don't, you know. But right now, medically, 45 is great, easy. You know, I'm never, ever not dying. I'm not crying to the weight cuts and this and that. The weight come off easy, and it's good for me, you know. But like I said, DC, I love food, so we really don't know, you know. Shit, tomorrow I might change my mind. I don't know. I'm so indecisive nowadays, you know. Life's good. Life's been treating me great, and if it's 45, I'm excited, man. There's a lot of guys up there that excite me, and you know, hopefully we see. Yeah, there's a couple matches I'd love to do up there. So
what happens?
So right now I got a belt, I got a throne. And I got a division that I'm finally bringing back to order, so life's good.
Max, one question about last week. Josh Emmett knocked out Ricardo Lamas with a nasty left hook, right? But he missed weight, right? But he missed. He didn't make the weight. Now, granted, he did take the fight on short notice. Does that make the performance any less impressive, being that he didn't make the contracted weight?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a performance is a performance. Ricardo took the fight. You missed weight, you know, 4 weeks. I don't really think that is kind of short notice, but you should have said you had 4 weeks to make the weight, you know. Like, and at the end of the day, I take nothing away from the guy's performance. I'm not going to say, oh, because he missed weight. Who knows, you know? Like, if he made weight, it would have been way different. You know, people would be just talking about the knockout, but now it kind of sucks for him that he missed weight, and that's all people are talking about now is missing weight, so... I don't think so. It takes away from the performance, but, you know, I think he should have made weight, so nobody bring that up. But at the end of the day, I'm a fighter, man. You know, I don't care if a guy don't want to make weight for me against me. Great, I get to take percentage of your purse, and I get to kick your ass. So life's good.
Speaking of life being good, I got one quick thing between you guys. I want to stir up a little controversy. I'm pretty sure you're a Vikings fan. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I think I saw it. And DC is a Saints fan, which is just still bewildering. But I think we need to have some kind of little wager here on who's going to go farther in the playoffs, and also how we get some of these protein donuts and cupcakes.
The problem is that we can't. We don't even know if we're going to the playoffs because our division's so good.
Oh, you haven't made it yet?
No, we are not in the playoffs yet. We're still waiting.
That's what someone says all the time when their team is kind of all right. Oh, we're in a hard division. Yeah. Who's in that division?
We have 10 wins.
Tampa Bay.
The Falcons have 9 wins. And the Panthers have 10
yeah,
wins.
Falcons, Panthers, oh, yeah. But yeah, you guys, this is actually in a real hard division. But
yes.
Even if you guys are going to playoffs, I think so we would have went, we were going to go farther than you guys anyway. But you know how NFL is all screwed up and all rigged, some bullshit. They're not going to let us go to the Super Bowl at our home field. That ain't going to happen. Did you see that shit going on with
Raiders
Patriots
game?
And freaking Steelers game?
Oh, yeah.
That was some bullshit. That was
they
a
cheated.
Now, Gronk can't cause a fumble.
What about the index card? The index
hey,
card
what about
the
index card at the Raiders game yesterday for the first down?
Folded piece of paper. That was terrible.
Did you
that
not see
crazy.
That?
So I guess there's no
I
wager.
I did not see it, but
Max.
So you guys aren't betting anything.
They had a first down. It was fourth down in inches. It didn't happen. They put a index like a piece of paper folded.
We folded it in
to
half,
try to put it between the football and the chain. And when they said that the paper didn't go in between, they gave the other team a first down to end the game.
It was ridiculous. It was supposed to be one piece
what?
Of paper.
Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy. They folded a piece of paper in half and shoved it in there.
They
and said,
folded
oh,
a piece of paper in half and tried to stick it between the ball and the marker.
And the ref was smirking the whole time. Which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Max, you are the UFC's featherweight champion. You are a great champion, great guy. We really appreciate you joining this, man. Maxi, baby, thank you. Enjoy that beautiful Hawaii lifestyle, and I will see you soon, my brother.
We'll be there for UFC Hawaii. For
see you guys soon, man.
We're ready.
Thank you, man. I'll probably be up there for your fight, DC. I'm excited to see you live, brother. You have a good camp.
My man, Max, thank you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Later, brother. Thank you, guys.
Yep, thanks.
What a guy. What a guy, Nick.
He's awesome.
I mean, what a guy, right?
We still didn't get the hookup on the protein donuts or cupcakes. Whatever. I remember on his Instagram, he used to always have these like protein donuts or something. And I was like,
Tyler makes those.
Where the
Tyler
fuck do makes we get those. Those? Does he really?
Yeah, he makes them. They're like little balls, like little balls.
And he's down
something.
With you right now, right?
He's at my house right now. Yeah, he's there for the next 5 weeks.
So potentially, because we're not that far away, Dennis and I could get some protein donuts pretty soon.
If you want to try those, yeah, they're really good. He made me a muffin today. Oh, it was
I'm
so
down.
Good.
I saw the guacamole and beef rice. That
did you see
good.
That?
Yeah, that looked good.
Taco Monday. I'm not even looked, doing Taco Tuesday.
I mean, it was at most like two forkfuls, but other than that, it looked pretty good.
It wasn't a lot. It
was,
trust me.
Not like a grain of rice with a piece of beef on top. He's like, I'm going to make this last.
Dude, Khabib and I talk about it all the time. We eat so slow. Like, I eat so slow and such little. I eat with forks. Because not much can get on the fork because I want to be able to, like, enjoy and, like, stretch out that meal. It's crazy.
Hey, why don't you guys tell me when a guest calls in so I'm not sitting here talking about, you know, working out with my kid.
I was waving at you.
I mean, you guys gave me no warning, and all of a sudden DC yells at me.
Dude, we're yelling, telling. You can hear it beeping. We're like, he's calling.
I don't know what a beep
all.
Means.
He's calling.
Well, maybe we had, I thought we had call waiting.
Hey, Dennis is all. He's calling right now.
He's calling, I guess.
I'm talking about burpee in the
right
grass.
He's calling right now.
He's calling right now. He's talking like super low and I'm like creepy. Like, what is wrong with Dennis? Hey, but anyway, let's move forward. We must go forward. And Max kind of touched on it, the Josh Emmett thing, right? The knockout, the left hook in the co-main of UFC on Fox 26 last weekend. And it was a wonderful performance by Josh Emmett, who in his last fight, when he made his UFC featherweight debut, had four knockdowns in the very first round. Sick power.
Yeah.
Then he goes and he does that to Ricardo Lamas on short notice. But that's hanging out there, right?
How much was he over? How much was he over? I didn't know until the fight.
I can't remember, but he was over a little bit. And it's like, man, it's unfortunate that he could have such a performance, you know, and that kind of be like what people are talking about. It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, I saw you guys said afterwards that, what was it, the last five people that have missed weight have all won or something.
Dude, that's crazy.
So when did Tim Elliott on this card where he said he wasn't going to fight?
Yes, or? And he said no.
Yeah, which is smart.
He said, I'm not fighting.
Does he get any money? Does he still get a show? I mean, is half his money?
I think they may have given him some of his money, but he wanted his show money because he's like, well, if he didn't make weight, I should get my entire fight purse. But he didn't, you know. And Tim Elliott is a great segue because he was friends with Robert Fallis. Was his coach, and unfortunately, you know, he passed away last week or weekend. I'm not exactly sure what the day was, but the news broke on Saturday night late, Sunday morning, and what an unfortunate turn of events, right? Like that,
yeah.
A guy that was so well-loved and so well-liked and so respected passes away in that manner, leaves behind a family, too. Very, very unfortunate news, the passing of Robert Follis.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. Which reminds you, you never know what people are going through on the inside. So
it's like you never know what people need, right? You know, yeah. What if a conversation or what if a visit could be the thing that turns a person around? When people start to deal with depression, it's over. Like, you have to find a way to take them out of this black hole.
Yeah.
And it's like they are living in a life like where you don't see the lights, right? You don't see this. Like, I see light. I see Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I feel like when people are living in depression, they're in that room that you guys are in right now, just black.
Yeah. It's hard, though, because when you're talking to someone who's depressed, you tend to, like, just talk logically, like, hey, what are you so depressed about? There's nothing, you know, oh, you'll be fine, or this, that, and the other. And it's like,
so you don't even know what they're going.
Even if logic makes sense, they're in a place where logic doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So it's, you know, you end up, it just ends up frustrating. It's tough.
You know what's crazy is that I heard, and I'm not, I think this is true, but I heard his brother may have taken his own life a few, like, years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That, you know, you, two kids you lose in that fashion. I mean, that's,
yeah, no,
that's
terrible.
Sad, like, at a level that you can't even really comprehend. And he was tied to so many great fighters, you know, like, things were going so well. I remember when he really started making his push, Brian Stann just raved about him. And Brian Stann is well respected in the community for his knowledge and his commitment to his craft. And all he did was rave about Follis, and he just thought he was a genius. And you just never know, man. Like, you know, about a month ago, you saw that he was leaving Extreme Couture. And then, you know, you don't know what was going on after that. You know, you don't know what led to that. You don't know what led to the gym, him and the gym separating. You don't know what his thoughts were after he left the gym. It's just a really, really sad, sad situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely.
And I know it's like a bummer. You know, you start talking about that, and then we have to somehow try to move forward and spin the show forward. But it's like, it's so difficult because it's just crazy, man. Like, the world today is just so, so crazy with everything that's coming out about people in power. And, you know, people are like, you know, you were losing people so young. And it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy world we live in today.
Yeah. Yep, you got to appreciate every day. Never know. Exactly. Never know what's next.
You never know what's next for you or somebody close to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we, you know, prayers go up to the Follis family and all the people that were and are close to him and his family. We are sorry for your loss. And all you can do now is try to honor his memory as his, you know, his fighters, his family, and everybody else. And that's how you keep people alive, right? So I saw Coco, that movie Coco. Have you guys seen it?
No.
The cartoon. And the story was about, it's like a Mexican holiday or something, where the Day of Remembrance. And that was how you kept the people in your family that passed alive, right? So I guess the story is, and I'm not very in tune with this holiday, but you put pictures up of your family, and the idea is that their ghosts visit you. They come home for a day. And to me, the story was that as you lose people and the years go by and you don't mention them and you don't remember them, they tend to fade away. But this tradition in the Mexican culture is so interesting, and it's so beautiful, because by doing that, it's almost like they keep these people alive by honoring their memories. It's the most amazing thing, and even as an adult, you guys should go watch this movie. It's fantastic, dude. It was fantastic to see and just crazy to watch.
Yeah, Luke wants to see that. I always fall asleep in cartoons, but maybe I'll go see that one now.
Dick, take him. It's worth it, dude.
The only one I stayed awake in was Romeo and Juliet.
That's a horrible one, dude.
I don't know why that one. I watched that one like 3 times.
What is it?
Romeo and Juliet.
It's about garden gnomes, Dennis. Yeah.
Lego
garden gnomes.
Lego Ninjago was the last one, and I was out in 5 minutes.
That was horrible. It was way too much bright lights and crazy adventures.
He hasn't
seen
Coco. Many
adventures a problem.
The speaking of cartoons, like, was I watching the same fight? Like, Glover Teixeira was like not on in any way on his way to a title shot, and then he subbed the guy, and then he won a title shot.
Well,
he was losing. I mean, he didn't. I watched it again. I watched it again the next day to make sure that I didn't like fall asleep for a little part of it and miss it. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, whoever wins. But I was like, that was crazy. That was like a.
He wasn't fighting very well, but I think that says more about the state of the division, right? Because there aren't that many guys that have separated themselves in terms of getting a title shot.
Yeah.
So you win like that on Fox, and it's impressive. You can go, you can ask for it. Plus, he's one of the only longtime contenders that I haven't fought, right? I fought everybody else, Gustafson, Jones, Rumble. I fought all the rest of those longtime contenders, so he's like, where's my chance? So,
what was the story with him? So, because he was Chuck Liddell's training partner for a long time, and he couldn't fight because of visa? Like
issues, yeah. He was stuck in Brazil for a really long time. Huh. And then when he came here, he was just on fire.
Yeah.
And then he lost to Jones, lost to Phil Davis. And then Rumble just, I mean, destroyed him. And I think that's where people got the idea that he was done. And then he won, and then he went back and fought Gustafson. And Gustafson destroyed him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that Gustafson just really beat him up, but it was that last sequence that he hit him with. He hit him with, like, 2 uppercuts. And then when Glover was super hurt, he just hit him with this nasty overhand right hook. Just completely put him out, man. It was just nasty. I mean, Alexander did that dude dirty, man.
What did you also on that fight? So you had Mike. I was a little overhyped. You had Mike Perry and you had the Italian guy. Or was he Italian or the other guy?
No, he's not Italian. He's a
Italian sounding name.
Santiago Ponzinibbio. He's from, like, he lives in Brazil, but I think he's like Nicaraguan or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. But Dennis, you want to check that, fact check that, please?
Because you guys, I was watching the fight, and they were talking about this is like welterweight fighting at the highest level, and I totally disagreed when I was watching it. Was I wrong?
Ponzinibbio is really, really technically sound. Mike Perry has huge power, which is the ultimate equalizer. He's a good boxer, but I think he might have loaded up a little bit too much in that fight looking for the big shot.
Yeah.
But when it landed, though, he did hurt Ponzinibbio.
But it looked so like rock'em sock'em. And then every once in a while, he'd throw a kick, and it was like, oh, shit, look. He looks like when he threw a kick, he looked faster and more flexible. But when they were punching, it was just these short – I mean, obviously, they would knock me and Dennis out, but these short arm punches without – it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of technique. And it was just like – I'm like, well, this is a fun fight to watch, but this is not championship caliber. And
these
then
guys are good.
They are?
Ponzinibbio is really good. He's really good. I know. He's just very talented. And, I mean, you should have saw what he did to Gunnar Nelson. I mean, demolished him.
I guess it was maybe just because they both looked the same. It was a weird fight because it just seemed they were too similar, right?
So
it wasn't like – but, yeah, I was kind of hyped up to watch it because I hadn't actually watched Mike Perry that much, but I'd heard, you know, a lot. But I didn't remember – I don't know. I felt like for some reason it just seemed slower and buffer than before. It was just kind of a – it was just like – it felt like – It felt like you might, if someone said, hey, is this happening today? It's like, no, this happened in the UFC like 12, 15, 20 years ago is what I felt like. But I don't know. Nothing against that. I don't know, maybe I was half asleep. And then the other thing, I felt like, I mean, I know it's part of fighting, but I hate, well, I guess I don't hate it because I guess it does create that drama and that like, oh, no. But when you get these big fights and one guy does so much damage with the leg kicks, I hate it because I feel like it, I get it. It's super smart and it's part of the game, but I feel like I sit there watching going, we're robbed a little bit. Like,
why?
Well, just because I felt like, I don't know.
You're talking Lala RDA, right?
Yeah, I wanted to see, like, I felt like even though, so RDA did it to him, right? So I get it. But I just felt like I was robbed of seeing them at full strength for 25, because it's like just limping around on one leg, which I know is part of the thing, but I just...
He was getting, his leg got brutalized. Dude, I mean, Rafael dos Anjos is a problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a great fight, and it did have, I started even thinking to myself, oh, maybe I'm overanalyzing this, because I find myself cringing, like, don't kick his leg, don't kick his leg, and like, oh, how can he even stand up on this leg? But part of me was like, no, I was just, you know, I guess because it's Robbie Lawler, so I felt like, okay, you've taken away the part of Robbie Lawler where you didn't feel like you were going to have that one, they had that ability to land that one punch at a certain point because his leg was too fucked up, and you were sitting there going, I don't know, it's amazing that he's continuing to fight. Like, it was another one, it was like when Gilbert, right? When Gilbert really didn't want to keep fighting, but his corner made him go through it. I think I felt like it was the same thing with Robbie Lawler. Like, if his corner would have said, yeah, you know what, your leg is pretty fucked up, let's stop this, he would have been like, all right, let's stop
it. He wouldn't. Henry Hoof told me on Sunday when I was leaving the airport, he goes, I walked to Robbie in the third round, and he goes, what's up, Henry? He said, he just said,
really?
What's up, Henry? Yeah, he said, and Henry was like, what? He's like, what? He's so confused because he said, Robbie was just Robbie, like laid back, cool, like whatever. He goes, and before the fourth, Robbie goes, what round are we going into? Just kind of like, because he's just in there doing his thing, fighting. Like,
well, that's when he's Robbie, like, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, he's just like, just it's fighting. Robbie being Robbie, man. Like, he's the man. You know, he's always been the man. He's a fucking stud, but.
Dodging those 42 punches and smiling afterwards was pretty sweet.
Oh, that was so scary.
That was like, that was bad. It was just like, I was like, oh my God, Robbie just smiled at him.
Because I'm watching it. I'm supposed to analyze this shit. And I'm like, oh my God, Robbie just smiled at this dude. Like, yeah. It's like, what?
All right, I take it back. The more we talk about this fight, the more I guess it was a good fight, because I got a lot of good memories.
It was
of this
a good fight.
But it was just frustrating, I guess. I wasn't rooting for Lawler. Maybe I was. That's the thing.
You secretly were rooting for
him. I was secretly
Lawler
rooting for him, and so I didn't like the fact that he didn't have his leg.
That he was kind of like limited.
Yeah.
Which happens, though. That's just.
Dos Anjos is awesome. I just.
Hey, RDA is a real problem for everybody, man. This division, though. This division has turned into something pretty fun, because you got RDA, who's as tough as they come, great cardio, super skilled. He's only 5'8", but T-Wood's not that big himself.
Yeah.
And then Colby Covington's out of his freaking mind. Look, if you want to make some enemies, right, you know what he did? Colby Covington, and I will read this tweet to you.
They're the one that Verdum threw the boomerang at?
Verdum threw a boomerang at him. But Colby Covington, who is the craziest person, he's making no friends and he doesn't care. But listen to what Colby Covington tweeted the other day. So everybody losing their minds about Star Wars. It's a big deal.
He spoiled it.
It's a big deal that Star Wars is about to, Colby tweets and pins it so that it's the first thing that you see every time you get spoils the ending of Star Wars. And then says, save you nerds 2 hours and 33 minutes of your virgin lives. You're welcome. Try something new. It's ladies' night. Go and get laid. What?
All right, that's actually pretty funny. I thought it was going to be something else.
How savage is that?
Yeah.
And then he wrote hashtag Star Wars with some sort of a... Star Wars. Hashtag Last Jedi. Hashtag my haters are all virgins. No.
All right, I'm coming around now. I'm starting to, it might be a fan
the
now.
Method to the madness.
Yeah, he's Dennis' favorite fighter immediately.
I don't get behind all the, you know, talking about the whole country, Brazil and all that. You know, but I get what he's doing. I'm a big professional wrestling guy, but that shit was bad. Because if you want to piss anybody off, you ruin the ending of a movie, especially one that somebody wants to watch for a long time.
Yeah.
He just does it to probably the biggest movie to drop the entire year.
You ever see that guy that drove a sign of the ending when The Force Awakens with the ending on his car and he drove by the line of people waiting?
Did he really?
Yeah, and then they pulled him out of the car. Beating the crap out of him.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
What the fuck? That's crazy. What did you so what's this with you and the wrestlers?
Okay. So
always fighting with someone. Every week DC's fighting with someone.
Like, I'm not trying to fight, though. Like, I just didn't like this sequence of all these backflips. Did you see the shit?
No, I haven't watched. Is it on?
Look at your Twitter right now. Go to my shit and look at that first comment.
All I saw was like, hey, it's sold out. Oh, thanks for something? Like,
no, that was nonsense. Like, that guy, whoever that guy is, Flip or whatever his name, he goes, I would have liked to given you tickets, but the show sold out. And I'm like, well, mine are too. Like, so I felt like they were kind of trying to use, like, some of the stuff they say to just normal fans. I'm like, bro, you're talking about the fights that I sell out. Like, I go, this is crazy. I go, and then somebody wrote a picture, and they go, these are the last six fight cards that DC was on, you know, and most of them are main events, you know, and it was like, it said UFC 182 main event, gate $3.5 million, $3.8 million. UFC 187 main event, $5.1 million. UFC 192 main event, $2 million. UFC 200, John and I were the main event till 2 days before the fight, $10.7 million gate. UFC 210, $2 million gate. UFC 214, $2.5 million gate. We're drawing money. I am drawing money, but these guys are talking to me about selling out arenas. Like, you can't do that. You have to know who you're speaking to in that sense. Yes, I am a fan of wrestling, but you can't talk to me like I'm some just random guy, you know, that watches it. I just did not like a sequence of a match.
I just watched it. That is idiotic.
Right?
I mean,
it's,
I
like,
remember
just too much.
Last time I went to a wrestling match was Big John Studd against Hulk Hogan. It wasn't like this.
No. It would think it's just too much, right? Because even when the guy ridiculous. Like swings under the guy's leg, you see it's 2 feet where he missed him.
Yeah, the one guy missed him by a lot, and then they all stand in a circle and all do the joint aerobics.
Drop kick.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But, like, I mean, I get it. You guys have your fans, but for me, Daniel Cormier, it didn't work. So everybody takes offense to it and start talking shit. And then this guy Cody Rhodes says that all UFC fighters ask Triple H for a job when they're done. I'm like, well, about 40. I got a job for after I'm done, so I'm good.
Dude, you're going to be the manager. Remember we talked about this on an earlier episode.
He said we asked for comp tickets. Yes, I do ask for comp tickets because I would much rather get them free than to pay for them. But they're in San Jose in L.A. It's like, what are you talking about? And then he told me to chill the fuck out. I just kind of said, you know, be very careful with who you're talking to. You know, he's got to, you know, you play wrestle and fight. I do this shit for real. You know, like, be very careful.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see the interview where, because they were talking about Pacquiao, and then they interviewed, it was yesterday, and they asked Conor, and he said, no, my next one's going to be a real fight.
He's going to fight mixed martial arts from what I can tell, which is great because the UFC and mixed martial arts, they need him. Everybody, for everything that Conor is, you know, put a division on hold. He's the biggest star this sport has ever seen, and he puts on exciting fights. And look, for a while, he fought all the time.
Yeah.
Short notice, last-minute replacement. When the UFC called, he fought. That's why he is who he is today. And if anyone has earned a pass, it's Conor McGregor. I have no problem with how things are with them. But again, it's not my division, so you wouldn't expect me to.
Now, how'd you pass on the title of King of Lafayette to Dustin Poirier? I mean, just what, like, how did you relinquish this? You don't seem just like the kind of guy that gives up anything.
He's just
he gets the spicy jerky, and he just, that's it.
He still lives there, you know? Yeah. He still lives at home.
Did you know him? You got too far apart. You didn't know him when you were ever
not
from
as
there.
Kids, not but until, yes. I knew him right away when he started fighting. And I was like, wow, this kid's tough. And I saw when he made his debut in the WEC. So, yeah, he's a good guy. He's tied to the city still. Yeah. I haven't been to Lafayette in a year. He lives there. You know, so, yeah, I call him the King of Lafayette. And it's a title that he takes very serious. So I appreciate him for it. You know, he's a great guy. Him and I are going to open a gym together in Lafayette. So,
oh, really?
I think that'll be good. Yeah,
we're going to call it Dustin's MMA.
see, so we have to discuss that, right? Whose name goes first and Dethrone Base Camp.
Dustin.
What are you guys
Dustin
charging for
C's
those?
MMA.
Hey, what are you charging for those Dethrone Base Camp names?
What do you mean? Like, to how much for when people join?
For me and Dustin to open a Dethrone Base Camp in Lafayette, Louisiana, what does it cost me?
For you guys, I don't know. Well, just double whatever we charge everyone else.
Well, you see, that's the problem. What do you charge me right now on the record? What do you charge me for a dethroned base camp in Lafayette, Louisiana?
No idea.
Of course you have an idea. Tell me.
There's no, well, first of all, it's just base camp now. And there's a, no, I have no idea.
You do know. Like, fucking tell me how much you charge.
No, I don't know, because we've never had anyone else open one.
So you've never, Josh Thompson had a base camp. Josh Koscheck had a base camp.
No, Thompson didn't have one. Thompson, we built one together to open, and then we disagreed on what it would be the week before it was going to open. So we took all the base camp signs down, and he renamed it, and we parted ways happily.
What about Koscheck has a base camp?
Koscheck had a dethroned base camp. Now it's just dethroned gym. But that was because at that point, dethroned base camp only existed in the warehouse at Dethrone. And then once we started opening the gyms, then we said the same thing. Hey, if you're gonna have a base camp, it's gotta be a base camp. And he's like, I don't want it to be a base camp. I want it to be what I have. So he had to have it be dethroned. We're very hard to work with.
It seemed pretty easy. You guys just fucking go, okay, sure, do whatever you want. Fucking out.
That's how it was. But I've learned that doesn't work out too well in the end.
So what does it cost me and Dustin to open a base camp in Lafayette, Louisiana?
I don't know.
$100,000, $50,000.
There's no set policy.
So we should
be. We'll send Dennis out there.
We'll pick up some bikes. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Dennis will figure out how much, you know, how much of a good time you guys show him in Lafayette, and Dennis will come back and give a thumbs up or a thumbs down if he can remember anything about Lafayette, and then that'll be based on the price. However many drinks Dennis has, we'll divide that by two, and that'll be the price for the gym.
That's what I'm talking about.
So at most it'll be a, you know, $100,000 gym at that point.
Easily.
Dennis is so fired up right now. He's gonna go, there's one Corona left. He's gonna go grab that, I think.
He's gonna go nuts in Louisiana.
Yeah. I've only been once. Boys,
I've been once.
You've been once?
It was nice.
Yeah.
It's a great time. You might like it as much as you love Mexico. You guys should come down to Mardi Gras whenever I go after my fight. I'm going down to Mardi Gras this year.
So I went for a Warriors game, and I flew in the morning and I left that night, and I had nothing to do. I had like an hour and a half until we had to go to the game. And I was like, where's Bourbon Street? Over there. I was so disappointed. I thought it was going to be like much bigger and more majestic. It was tiny.
No, it's not. It's really small.
Yeah.
But it's great at night, though.
Yeah,
it's,
I was there. Fun. I saw it at like 11 o'clock in the morning, so it wasn't.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a lot of people every single night. It's crazy, and I cannot wait to get down there. But, boys, it's been fun.
Are we done? I mean, are you leaving us again?
I gotta go eat dinner. I gotta get to bed. I gotta train early in the morning. But it's been fun.
It has been fun. Glad you're back. If you get next time you get protein donuts, please save us a couple.
Yes,
I want to try it.
And guys, before we go, Fulton and Rourke.
Yes.
Fulton and Rourke. We did not do that at the top of the show. So sorry, Fulton and Rourke.
We're taking it for granted now. We're so used to smelling good that we're taking it for granted.
But I have been using all my products, and I am in love with every single thing. So, Fulton & Rourke, thank you again. Go to FultonAndRourke.com. Use the code TALKER. Get a discount on everything you buy. And say DC, Nick, and Dennis sent you.
Yes.
As you hit order, yell that.
Like a psycho.
Put it in the memo. Put it in the special instructions. We sent you.
What do you think about going to England for a soccer game? Would you do that?
Yes, I would. I would definitely do that.
Think we could pull
it would
that
be
off.
Crazy.
We could do like a 48-hour get there, podcast, soccer game, pub, home.
Yes, let's do it.
We could do that. That would be a lot of fun.
That doesn't count as too scary for you?
That's not out of the question. I do that. That is one thing I may consider.
All right, let's do it.
All right, boys. Thank you guys. Hey. It was awesome. Everybody that listens, we appreciate you guys. I want to say thank you to Jerome Max Kalii Holloway. Thank you for joining us. That's his middle name. For Nick Swinburne, Dennis Rodriguez, I'm Daniel Cormier, Talking Talker, episode 18. We out.
Yeah. See you at UFC Hawaii.
Yeah. UFC Hawaii. Let's go. It is what it is. Later, boys. Trying to
fuck with Hollywood Cole. I'm with Marla G, bro. Flying Holly Grove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should.